The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, you know.
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Package Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer Zvonowicz, joined as always with Kyle Frykowski, but not today. We'll get into that in a little bit, but lucky for everyone here, we do have a replacement this week, and his name is Hank, one of my best friends, Hank. Hank, welcome to the program.
It is so nice to be here. Yeah, I'm Hank. I love Hawaiian shirts, hard bodies, and a good hot dog.
There we go. Yeah, well, that's a nice little introduction. Hank, and you're a fan of the Packers and even a fan of the podcast. I believe you do listen most weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, almost all weeks. To be quite honest, I did miss the week, both weeks after the last two NFC championship games.
Oh, God.
I think I spent most of that week on my couch in my aunt's basement.
Okay.
And so I finally have been able to come out into the light again, which has been really nice.
Cool.
Draft day got me down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The rise and grind. Season without, you know, just the off season, the summer. I don't even like the summer when I don't have football to look forward to. And then the whole summer was cut up with Aaron Rodgers news. So I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm still assessing.
Okay.
I feel like there's been a lot of healing. And I feel like I am maybe a micro study of the different kind of healings that maybe have been happening in Lambeau Field.
Wow.
At least that is what I'm hoping.
Well, I did not expect you to go down such a hole there with your grieving. I guess we all grieve differently, and it's good to hear that you're doing better, I guess, you know? Because, hey, the Packers are doing better too, and I'm sure that helped you out mentally as well, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I will never claim to be a logical fan. I won't even, you know, claim to like know a lot about football generally, but I'm very in touch with how I feel.
Ah,
you know, and okay. You know, I'm a man of feeling, I always have said, and I was feeling real bad.
Okay.
So it's good to be feeling better. And it's good to be on my favorite podcast of all time. I mean, it's such an honor. And I wish I could, you know, hang out. Maybe someday I'll be able to hang out with Kyle too. I just, you know, that would be also an honor. I've always said I'm like, honestly, kind of a huge Kyle fan.
Yeah, no, most are.
Yeah, so
I am too.
I'm also, yeah, huge Spencer fan. But like, it is the chemistry that I do long for that. So
yeah, well, that's a good segue because we, as I alluded to, Kyle is not in on this episode. And unfortunately, we are in a bit of a holdout with Kyle. We're trying to work out a new deal. You know, I'm hoping he'll be back for the start of the season, but we'll see. You know, I've kept trying to contact him to set up a time to record. I don't think he took the last recording very well. That, you know, I replaced him for a week. I was planning to still record on that Sunday, but that didn't happen because, you know, he went nuclear mode, as did Aaron Rodgers on draft night. So we'll see. We're still working through it. You know, I sent him a nice text where I edited the Adam Schefter, Aaron Rodgers original tweet, and he sent back an image of Rodgers at the Kentucky Derby looking out, you know, just thinking. So hopefully that's a sign that he'll be back. But if not, you know, we'll figure it out and go from there.
I will say this. You're handling this with much more class than Mark Murphy handled the Rodgers situation.
Okay.
And to that, I think Kyle has to be thankful.
I hope.
And
I haven't even called him a complicated fellow yet.
Yes, yes. You know, and like the best fellows are a little bit complicated.
Yeah, you don't want to be a simpleton, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, like, I just want to let everyone know I'm not replacing Kyle. Think of me more as like a sound guy. Like, I will carry the water for these two into the desert, wherever they go. So I don't even know how to do sound stuff, but I would learn.
Perfect. Well, as long as you're committed, you know, that's half the battle that we want.
I could use my uncle's computer.
Okay.
And it's, from what I hear, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. A gateway. And it really will pack the punch.
Yeah, those are the top of the line computers nowadays. Very, very good, Hank. Okay. Well, moving on. We do have Packers stuff to talk about as well. This episode, obviously, all the preseason games are now done. The last time we recorded, we didn't even have a preseason game yet. So we'll briefly go over all the position groups again as quick as we can, but, you know, cover as much as we can with all the games, all the positions. After that, we'll have a little take news talking about Adam Schefter and Twitter in general, how it's kind of turned into, like, everything's just so freaking extreme nowadays. We'll have some other dumb stuff at the end, you know. It looks like we'll talk about the NFL Top 100. And then we'll have our nice little outro. But first, why don't we jump right into it? The biggest name of this summer, the thing everyone's been looking forward to, and that is Jordan Love. So right off the top, I guess we'll say this. The Packers are 0-3. They lost to the Texans 7-26. They lost to the Jets 23-14. And they lost to the Bills 0-19. But those don't really matter. Jordan Love played in two of those games, so... You know, initial thoughts, Hank, what did you think of Jordan Love in this preseason action?
You know, I just love Love. And okay. I'm not going to even talk about him slinging it. I mean, that one throw that he had, I guess it was, what, yesterday?
Yep.
When the interception, obviously, is a tough throw, you know? And you throw those in Madden all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like kind of like whatever. It's preseason. You're just trying it out. You know, if Malik Taylor catches that ball, it's a different story.
Well, I mean, he didn't give much of a chance. It was one of those. It's fun because we're so watching that game and that play specifically. We're so accustomed to Aaron Rodgers, where when you say Jordan Love, like, cock back and lob it up deep, you're like, oh, someone must be wide open. And then you look, it's like there are only Bills bodies back there for the most part. But it was a nice change of pace from the first game, at least, yeah, where he was a lot more.
Well, and I have a take for that too, you know.
Okay, like, we'll shoot it off.
You know, like, I mean, a dog gets hungry.
Yeah.
And he had to sit out the week before.
Yep.
And then he had the drive that stalled because Jay Sternberger can't block for AJ Dillon.
Yep.
And so he was just hungry, and he was kind of in, like, F it Friday mode, you know? And he was like, I'm just going to throw this sucker up, and we're going to get it. And I think we've all been there at some point.
Yeah.
We're just like, let it rip, you know?
And that's what Coach LaFleur was asking him for, do, which is something Bankert was doing more so early on than Love. And he did rip it, but maybe a little bit too much on that one play.
Yeah, it was tough. I'm not saying it was a good throw, but, you know, when he threw it, I was like, ah.
Yeah.
but even I think to get back, that was kind of off topic a little bit. But, you know, I really love at the presser. You know, I like how kind of, like, cute and timid he is.
Dull, yeah.
It is a little dull, but, like, I don't know. It's just like, hey, man, I kind of want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of want to hang out with you. He, like, seems like someone that's, like, maybe, like, I don't even know if it's, like, a confidence thing. But it's, like, this really kind of passive thing. But you have this impression, like, if you talk to him, he's going to be, like, mad smart.
Like, yeah. Well, it's... He's an interesting cat because we don't know anything about the dude. It's almost like we don't, but we almost know more about Kurt Banker just because of his social media presence and the way he's very open in his pressers. Where, and it's something that we'll get into pretty quick here too with just the quarterback room, but something that Aaron Rodgers has brought up is Well, for one, everyone on the team just about who's been asked about Jordan Love has said how he is a lot more confident this year, which is kind of funny when you see him in the pressers and he's just kind of dull, like I described him. You said, you know, you described him a little bit differently. But one thing that Rodgers has said is that Love doesn't ask a lot of questions, but he knows he's listening. But Kurt is the guy asking a lot of questions in the meeting room and on the field and such. So I know two different ways to learn as a quarterback, I guess. But what with Love, I guess I'll go into my take here now too. I entered this preseason, I don't want to say as a hater, but I'm still caught up in this. Why in the hell did we, one, draft him, but two, everything leading up to it too, with Aaron Rodgers being the MVP of the league and so on. But he's shown me enough through the preseason now where I'm going to be a lot more lax when it comes next season, when Aaron Rodgers is probably going to get traded and Jordan Love will be the starting quarterback. I think he showed enough, you know, to grow off of. And something that was nice too, for someone who hadn't played, you know, in 2 years pretty much, usually these young guys run around and you see that with Kurt Banker and you've seen it with Justin Fields too, as well with the Chicago Bears. I'm very impressed with how much Love sticks in the pocket for a young guy. You'd think the opposite, and even with, you know, he chucked it up staying in the pocket late when he's running out of it, but that's kind of impressive. And it seems like, okay, he is a very calm guy for a rookie, kind of like what you're talking about in his pressers too. So
yeah, I think I, you know, totally agree. I mean, it was kind of strange how put together he looked, and I think even just coming out of like last year's training camp and hearing about kind of all maybe like those struggles that he was having, or just like not a lot of reps too.
Yeah.
I just expected to see kind of a deer in headlights all the time.
Yeah.
And there was like really only that one throw yesterday that felt that way to me. Even when he was getting like, you know, had people screaming off the edge, like he would dump it to running back, tight end. Seeing him make those decisions, I think, I mean, it seems like a lot of stuff he has to be taking in from Aaron, which has been really, really fun to watch. I didn't like the Love pick. I obviously, when it happened, it would upset me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think I've always been kind of like hopeful that he will kind of develop into what people have said, you know?
It's so tough, and we'll get into that later with take news, but it's a weird kind of, like, we don't know how good we have it right now. Like, we went out of our way to turn into the Chicago Bears almost. You know what I mean? Where it's like everyone else could have drafted Jordan Love if they wanted to, but we decided to do that and move away from Aaron Rodgers, where it's like anyone else would kill to be in the opposite position and have Aaron Rodgers on their team locked up for, you know, 3 more years. But I guess I'll throw this out there too for his stats. I mean, I think everyone knows he was fine, but he was 24 for 35, 271 yards, one touchdown, one pick, a pass rating of 89.1. That first preseason game, I wasn't as impressed. He had the one scoring drive, which was nice. He had the screen touchdown, but the 6 other drives he had a total of 26 total yards, which is a little concerning. But once again, it's preseason. It's, you don't look at the stats, you look at how he looked and how he threw, and overall, I thought he was more impressive than not impressive. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think that even him not playing in the third quarter,
yeah,
that first game, just that to me is kind of like he was just kind of getting into the swing of everything,
and then he got banged up
and to me that is like was harder to see him miss than that second game, because it felt like something was about to happen. Or like,
yeah,
or like a good drive was about to happen. I don't know. I was it seemed like he was just very in control, besides the strip sack fumble. But besides that, I mean, we'll revise history a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. And I guess I think he's going to make the 53-man roster. Someone who might not, Kurt Banker. We can talk about him quick. I'm a Kurt Banker fan. It's hard not to root for the guy one way or another. I thought he's been rather impressive. A lot of people, so especially that first game, he looked good. He just came out and ripped it. Took what was there. He's thrown a couple picks, but I just like seeing him go out there. I mean, he really is like a mini Brett Favre, obviously not with that much of an arm. But getting back to the roster breakdown here, a lot of people are back and forth if he'll make the squad. Most people think that we'll cut him and he'll make it on the practice squad. Others are wondering if the Falcons would scoop him up since their backup recently tore his ACL, and so they need to replace him. I'm of the mindset, going back to what I said earlier too, I think we're going to keep Kurt Benkert on the 53-man roster, if for nothing else. And this is me being a fan over analyzing the little bits of information that I get. Aaron Rodgers saying that Kurt Benkert is the guy that asks questions in the meeting room. I think you want him in that meeting room just because of that kind of chemistry that they seem to have right now, where it's obviously Love, Benkert, and Rodgers all kind of bouncing ideas off each other. Love sitting back listening. Kurt's asking more questions. And, you know, if you move on from Kurt, you're going to have someone else in that room. And that's kind of a variable that I don't know if the team would want to bring in this late or early into, you know, the season. So I think they might lean that way. What do you think about Kurt?
Yeah, I guess I have two things. I mean, I would echo what you said. It's been, I mean, I've been pleasantly surprised with what he's brought so far in, like, training camp and then in the preseason games.
Yeah.
He's been fun to watch, and I think he's been fun to watch off the field too.
Yeah.
I also think that Jordan Love is going to need a backup next year, and to have someone, you know, who's solid behind him is going to be, and someone that he has rapport with, like, that will be very valuable.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is kind of my thought why he gets kept around. My second thought is the team just needs more esports, yeah, you know, personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that is kind of like the Packers need to think about, like, their brand,
yes,
but they also need to think of their digital brand.
Yeah. And Kurt only helps that.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, I remember the first time I ever came across him, it was on, I think, Twitch.
Yep.
And he was playing himself in Madden. And he was like a 65, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
so.
Because MVS used to be the big Twitch guy for the team, and now I know it's MVS, AJ Dillon, and Kurt Benkert. But yeah, that's a good point. One other thing I'd bring up too, and people have argued the opposite. I've heard, like, I forget who said it, but I know John Meerding for Blue 58 has said it. It's like, if you get to Kurt Benkert, your season's kind of fucked anyways. And I would argue that, well, You would want Kurt Benkert in that instance if Rodgers and Love both go down, and let's say Rodgers breaks his collarbone again or whatever, and he's going to be out a few weeks. You'd rather have a Kurt Benkert than someone off the street. Sure, you might think the season's gone to shit, but we literally went through the same thing back in 2013 with Scott Tolzien and Seneca Wallace and Matt Flynn saving the season. And it's like, when we're in Super Bowl or bust type year, you might as well give that last roster spot to someone like Kurt Benkert, so he doesn't get scooped up on another team. And then if the worst thing happens and you're scrambling for another quarterback, you're not picking up someone from the street.
Well, and I just think, you know, going back to the Brett Hundley years,
God.
And not even saying that, like, Benkert is better than Brett Hundley, because, like, Brett Hundley has had a couple of games since he's left the Packers. You know, that could have also been more of the chaos of the situation, you know, with the end of the McCarthy era.
Yeah.
But I do think that what we saw with Brent Hundley is just, like, how much Adams thrived still in
right.
that situation. And so
that was the biggest takeaway with him, yes.
Yeah, so, like, having a quarterback that can just throw the ball somewhere in the vicinity of Adams seems to be, like, maybe the plan.
And it's such a good offense. You should be able to plug anyone in there to do halfway decent. That's one of the biggest arguments for why Jordan Love, you know, he wasn't phenomenal in the preseason, but you have to think of how he'd look like with actual starters and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think too that, like, I trust LaFleur's system to have a worse quarterback, you know, in ways that I didn't trust McCarthy's system.
Right. And we haven't lost Rodgers under LaFleur with injury at all, but we have lost Davante Adams, and we've seen that the offense can keep rolling even when you miss a large piece like that. So moving on to the running backs. This has been, you know, it's funny how at the beginning of camp, we thought there was a lot of battles going on at pretty much every position group, but everything's pretty tight right now, where I think there's only about four real spots in question. Running back is not that anymore. Good bets to make the roster. Obviously, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and now Kylan Hill is probably all but locked up his spot. guys probably getting cut, Dexter Williams and Patrick Taylor. I've said this before, but Dexter Williams, it kind of sucks for him. He's a third-year player now, and it looks like he's finally put it together. Unfortunately, he's going to get cut, probably be on the practice squad. Kylan Hill, though, he's obviously been kind of one of the talks of training camp. The seventh-round draft pick out of Ole Miss. I believe it's Ole Miss. He's been great. Number 32, he reminds me of Brandon Jackson, but an explosive Brandon Jackson, where he's great at catching it. You know, he's, like I said, he's explosive. He's a good kick returner, it seems, too. His running is all right. I'm sure it'll only improve over time, kind of like Brandon Jackson. He was, what I always said with Brandon Jackson, is he was the best running back at everything but running the ball. Because even, you know, someone like Dexter Williams had a better average this preseason than Kylan Hill, but Kylan Hill, every time he touches the ball, he's just so explosive.
Yeah, and he really does seem to kind of sniff out the end zone when he gets, you know, within the red zone. It's like he just kind of has a knack for angling his way in there.
That screen pass that he scored on was phenomenal. Yeah,
and I mean, even yesterday, it was like when him and AJ Dillon were kind of taking turns at the end there, or like at one the end of one of those drives that they ultimately didn't score on. It was like you'd have AJ Dillon just, they'd stack the box, and then he would just bowl his way for four yards, and then Kylan Hill would come in, and he would be able to kind of like slash, and he got like one of the carries was like 10 yards.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was really kind of fun to watch those two, the dynamic, and maybe that's kind of a preview of what we see with like Dillon and Jones on the field.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I hope it's something like that. Yeah, people have already said Hill is like a mini Aaron Jones. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I assume Patrick Taylor and Dexter Williams will get cut. I think Dexter will be back on the practice squad, but I mean, you can find a running back just about everywhere.
Yeah, all I'll say about Dexter is it will be tough to see if Dexter's cut and EQ is cut. We are losing two elite names.
Yeah, okay, well, let's talk about that now, because you brought that up yesterday when we were talking. They are two very elite names, but I would, and I think both of them are going to get cut. Do you know EQ's first, his full name?
Yes, but I'm not going to be the one. I know it's like Imhotep.
Yeah.
But I didn't say that right. And I think he was named after like Egyptian gods, right?
Is that what it is?
I think all of his family was. And this is me recalling information that I cannot tell you where I found, but yeah, that's what I believe.
His name is Aquemius Tristan J. St. Brown. That is his full name. He also has his younger brother, who is now a receiver for the Lions. But yeah, I think we're going to lose out on him. But what I wanted to bring up is the guy who we just signed recently.
Oh, so it's just Aquemius Tristan St. Brown.
I believe so.
Oh, I thought it was something longer.
You must be thinking of another player who
maybe
has
his brother.
But I wanted to bring this guy up. God, where is he here? Oh, we signed Roger Sturman, the corner. He was an undrafted guy. We literally signed him a day before the game, and he actually played this week too.
Is that first name or last name?
That is his first name.
Really?
And this is the Bill Huber wrote up about him. On his name, that's also his father's name, and his grandmother created it from the names Roy, Jeff, Terry, and Sherman. And as Rogersman said, 100% we're the only Rogersmans in the world. So it's literally just a combination of four different names.
Well, we are, I mean, you lose some and you win some. And I think that's kind of the situation we're in. We're getting, you know, I guess we're losing two and then we're getting one of the strongest names in the world.
Yeah.
Which can only help our name stock.
Yeah. And he's probably going to make the practice squad. We'll see. But,
and I mean, that's not to say we still have some great names. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Very true.
Great name. Beautiful name. It feels good when you say it.
Yep. Well, that's perfect. Hey, that's a perfect segue. We'll roll right into the wide receivers. We'll probably keep between 5 and 7. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is one of those guys. Well, hell, Alan Lazard. Lazard's a good name, too.
Lazard is a good name. It is, yeah. I mean, and like, I guess, yeah. And Alan Lazard, I mean, those two sound really good together, too.
That's very true, yeah. With the receivers, I think we know who's going to stay. Obviously, Davante Adams, MVS, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers. We thought this would be more of a battle with the talent that has shown up at the back end of the wide receiver position between Malik Taylor, Reggie Bagleton, and Juwan Winfrey. Winfrey was the big talk of training camp at the beginning, but he's been out with injury the last 2 weeks. It's looking, especially after the preseason, that Malik Taylor is going to be the sixth man. He can play special teams. He also led all receivers in the preseason and receiving yards. Hard to see us go any other way. And one last thing to add, we did cut Devin Funchess. I still, a lot of people thought he was clearly going to make the 53. I still struggle with that because I don't know what he brought that we didn't already have, and he's kind of an expensive guy. I was hoping he was going to be healthy and we can move him for a late round draft pick at the end of the camp, but yeah. What do you think of the wide receiver position?
Well, Devin Fun while it lasted.
Ooh, wow. That is a pretty good dad joke. That's like a joke I would make. That's very impressive there, Hank.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, otherwise, I do think that I kind of agree with you. I think that Malik Taylor probably proved that he was going to be that last spot. I still, it's strange because it seems like the Packers have put a lot of investment into EQ over the last...
Yeah.
What is it, like three? Is it 4 years now, or is it 3 years?
I believe this is their fourth year.
Four years.
Him and MVS.
Yeah, and I know the first season he did pretty well.
Yeah,
he had some.
He was
flashes,
probably the most impressive of the rookies. Yeah,
but it's going to be strange seeing that kind of like that experiment just turn off, because I'm just like always expecting, oh, EQ's coming back from IR, you know, like maybe he'll do something.
It's something too, because I even remember on the Pat McAfee show last year when like Pat brought up, oh, EQ's coming back, and Rogers said nice things, but he didn't say, there's a difference between coach speak and saying actual like compliments, and I've never really heard any compliments. The only thing you ever hear on EQ is how athletic he is, and that's always, he was a big body, fast, and that's it. And it's like, well, he's never been able to put it together. And I've said this a billion times now, but he did drop the 2-point conversion in the NFC Championship game that one Jay Kummerow probably would have caught. And it's to that point now where it's like, okay, he's had enough time. I'm fine with going with a smaller guy like Malik Taylor than EQ.
Yeah, I kind of was out on EQ after the 2-point conversion. So I have a friend who loves EQ and hates MVS. And so all they anytime MVS is brought up, they'll talk about how much, you know, better, like much more potential EQ has. And all I say back now is 2-point conversion. And you know who didn't drop any balls that game?
MVS.
MVS.
He was, as we said on the podcast, the best player in the playoffs for the Green Bay Packers.
To quote a hero of mine, the MVS Express.
Oh God. I hope Kyle's listening. I really do. Moving on to tight end, I don't think we have to talk about too much here. Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, Josiah DeGuara, Dominic Daphne are all pretty good bets to make it. They're probably going to be the only ones. Jay Sternberger, I don't know how much we need to talk about him. Talking about good names, one of the best names on the team as well. But God, he is just, if there's no better example of playing yourself out of the league than Jay Sternberger. I feel like such an old curmudgeon man saying this, but it's like, even early on like Instagram, like, I remember going into his second year, he was posting pictures of like his outfits, like getting ready for the season. It's like, dude, what are you like? You still need to become a player first before you're doing all this. He had COVID early on, which is whatever. I don't know how much you can say about that. He obviously has the 2-game suspension coming up because he took antidepressants and drank and drove. Just a lot of mistakes. And it's really bad when Justin Outen, the tight end coach, called him out after he had a good preseason game, saying that Jace is still learning the playbook and he's in year three, when a guy like Dominic Daphne, who was undrafted, came in and walked right in front of him. So I don't know how much more we have to talk about the ginger tattooed Machine Gun Kelly.
No, you know who I would say Jace Sternberger is?
Who?
Great Value Tfue.
Who's Tfue?
Tfue is a streamer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Great Value Tfue.
Jace does stream as well. I forget.
Yeah,
about
no,
that.
Line them up side by side. That's what I've always thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
The Packers went to Walmart and they had a look.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. And Jace, he's one of those guys, too, where it's like his career with the Packers is probably done. I don't know if we'll cut him or keep him on for the two games just in case someone else gets hurt, but he needs a change of scenery, and it sucks because he could turn it on with a different team if he gets his shit together, but it's just not going to happen with the Packers.
Yeah, and I was really excited when they drafted Jace, and I thought that, you know, I was excited even like some of the stuff that he would flash. When he would flash, it was exciting. And it's sad because I know that he has had some, you know, big,
yeah,
he's taken some big hits and big lumps.
Yeah,
and,
unfortunately, yeah.
And but I tell you, like watching yesterday in my aunt's basement, mm-hmm. I was pulling out the computer. I was ready to get on Facebook and start firing up some Jace comments on the
uh-huh.
Packers website.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was not having a good time.
But you didn't hit send, or did you hit send?
Well, the gateway was humming. Okay. It was humming. You
the
know,
fan was going.
The fan was going, and I got about a paragraph in, and it was dinner time. I was like, I better eat first and cool yeah. off a little bit. And you know, then I came back down, and it died. The
okay.
computer died.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, I guess maybe one day we'll hear your amazing Jay Sternberger takes. Other than that, only last thing I'd bring up is Bronson Cafusi, a guy who Aaron Rodgers has brought up as one of his favorite guys from camp. He's probably not going to make it. He's a BYU guy. Big body, big blocker. He's probably a shoe-in for the practice squad if he doesn't make the roster. But Tom Silverstein did say that he put it out more as a joke, but he was like, what if the Packers cut Mercedes Lewis to keep Cafusi? And it would be hilarious. One, I don't think they'll do it. That would be terrible if they did. But on top of that, it would be hilarious for Goody to be like, well, you said you like Cafusi. I kept him. Are you really going to be that mad that Big Dog's gone? But I don't know. We don't. That's not going to happen.
I think Lambeau would burn. I think it would burn without Big Dog.
I don't want to see what would happen. So I don't even want to put my mind there.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he might lay the gas, but there's a bunch of fans coming with torches.
True. That's a good point. Moving on to the offensive line. We kept 9 guys last year. It's kind of back and forth if we're going to have 10. Good bets, Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Myers, Billy Turner, Royce Newman, and John Runyon Jr. Possible cuts. I mean, you could still realistically, John Runyon could. He was a 6th round pick last year. But it comes down to Lucas Patrick, Cole Van Lannen, Dennis Kelly, Ben Braden, and Yosh Nyman. All of them are pretty solid specimens, whichever way you want to look at it. Cole Van Lannen is probably the most likely to get cut of that group. After that, it's really tough, and I'm going back and forth. Like I said, you know, Runyon's probably shoo-in to at least compete for that left guard spot early on. But it's between him and Lucas Patrick, and especially after Jake Hansen yesterday having some terrible snaps. That only helps Lucas Patrick's case to make the team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, John Runyon seemed to hold up well last year, too.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
I thought he was going to be clearing away the best guard going into training camp, so it's kind of surprising that Royce Newman has kind of taken that role.
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty wild. So, I mean, I love John Runyon Sr., so just on account of that, I'm cheering for John Runyon Jr.
It was one of those when we took John Runyon last year, and then I saw his father. It's like, oh, yeah, damn, I do actually remember that guy watching, like, SportsCenter in the morning in middle school. Like, for some reason, like that. Because he played for the Eagles, I believe, for the longest time. But
yeah,
we'll see.
There's been some really great kind of Legends children showing up in the last couple years.
It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, even like
I'm feeling old now. It's a 29-year-old
man. Samuel Jr., too.
Winfrey Jr.,
and then with the Bucks,
Winfield Jr.
Winfield Jr., yeah.
Yeah, Winfield Jr.,
duh,
not Winfrey.
You just said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I said Winfrey, which I got
well,
screwed
the
up
Packers
with Juwan
always
Winfrey.
Always on your mind
that's
all the time.
That's exactly it, yeah. For the cuts, I don't know what's going to happen. I, right now, for the back end, I see us keeping Lucas Patrick, Ben Braden, and I think it's going to be Yosh. I think we're going to cut Cole Van Lannen, and I think we're going to cut Dennis Kelly, which is weird. The veteran guy, he started all the games for the Titans last year at right tackle. He has $250,000 guaranteed to him, but Yosh is so cheap and such a high upside. He was the highest graded pass blocking offensive tackle, I believe, in the preseason. So it's a guy you want to
I did not catch that.
Yeah, it's weird because, and I brought it up before on Twitter too, how Yosh the one sack he let up all preseason was the one that got Jordan Love hurt. And everyone looked at that and said, oh my God, Yosha's having a terrible training camp. But the coaches have only said good things about him.
I was one of those people. Yeah. I was one of the sheep.
Yeah, don't be a sheep. You have to listen to what the coaches say. I mean, maybe we'll be wrong and he'll be cut tomorrow. But we'll see with Dennis Kelly. I think they'll keep 9 or 10 there, but we'll see with that.
But also, Yosh keeps the name game strong.
That's true. That we'll have to look at that with the cuts. Because, yeah, you don't run into many Yoshes, and I guess we'll have to learn exactly how to say 9.
It's the only Yosh I've ever heard of, to be quite honest, besides the famous Yoshi.
Yeah, well, hopefully he sticks around, and then we can get some better nickname from him. But that's it for the offense. We will have a quick commercial break.
Are high gas prices getting you down? Have you been looking for a more environmental alternative? Greetings there, folks. This is Leonard Bushnell III. Me and my kin been in the automotive selling business since my grandpappy opened his first lot at the turn of the century. But since losing my license to sell cars, I've sold my entire stock of fine automobiles and purchased a superb cachet of God's most wondrous creatures, the mighty horse. I got big horses, small horses, horses that climb on rocks, draft horses, thoroughbreds, and even some spotted ones. So come on down to the Bushnell Family Corral and get you one. We're located at 14th and Dixie, or you can just follow the smell.
All right, and we are back talking about the defense. So, hey, the defense, you know, if you're one of those idiots that are pissed that the Packers lost all three preseason games, at the same time, you could just look at the points and say, hey, well, at least the defense is pretty good because they didn't let up any points throughout the whole preseason, you know. But I guess looking at the actual players, we'll start off at cornerback. We'll run through the guys who are for sure making it. Jair, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, Shannon Sullivan. After that, all the guys that are kind of right on the edge are Shamir, Gene Charles, Isaac, and I did not say that name right. There's no way in hell. The guy from Appalachian State, the late-round draft pick. Isaac Yadam, who is the new player that we traded away Josh Jackson, received him. Kibion Ento and Rogersman Ferris and Steven Denmark, who apparently was actually like the best corner we had this past week, and we literally signed him a day before the game as well. Very quickly, last year we kept 6. Like I said, the guys who are sure bets are Jair, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, Shannon Sullivan. So after that, really only 2 real spots. I think SJC, we'll stick with that. It's a little easier to say. He hasn't performed that great in training camp, but more than anything, Gray, the defensive back coach, has talked him up a shit ton. So I think he kind of makes it in that way. He does have a higher pedigree just with more talent. After that, I think it's going to be Isaac Yodam, the guy that we traded for. He was drafted in the same draft as Josh Jackson we traded him for. It was a 3rd-round draft pick. He's not very good in coverage, but he's a decent tackler, and he plays special teams, and I think that's what will get him on the roster. But other than that, what do you think of the cornerback position?
Yeah, you know, I think I probably agree. Yada Yodam.
He's fresh enough where we're still learning.
Yeah, I'm not great with names to begin with.
Yeah, Hank.
But yeah, I mean, so I think that he just with like veteran experience too, like not that he played a ton of games, but he does have more, you know, experience than all the other guys. And you know, the one that I really liked this year, and I know he probably, like, I don't think he played super well yesterday, but Ento, and he was the wide receiver that converted,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And he did have the interception in the first preseason game.
That's true. It's still, I'm getting used to it, and it goes with him too. It's like, because he's number 48 or 46 or something, just an ugly ass number. And it's like, they just look so much slower when they're back there, where I'm assuming he's a linebacker. When he makes a pick, I'm like, oh, wow, that was an amazing play for a linebacker. And it's like, oh, shit, that's right. It's Ento.
Yeah. And if we know anything about numbers and how Rodgers thinks about them, we know that number is not working in his favor. Remember last year on the McAfee show when he was talking about giving guys ugly numbers?
That's right, yeah.
Deep cut.
That's right, yeah. Oh, very good. Well, I guess I got...
Don't let anyone ever tell you I'm not a Rodgers fan, even though I love.
Okay, well, that's very fair. Yeah, we'll see with the cornerback position. I'm not really getting too bent about it because all these guys are kind of the same thing where none of them are all that talented, and whoever we cut, aside from Yadam, probably is probably whoever we want will be back on the practice squad. Moving on to the safety position. Last year, we kept five, and it's probably going to be similar to that this year. Good bets, Amos and Savage, and more than likely Henry Black. After that, it's Vernon Scott, who's been hurt the last couple weeks, and Christian Upoff, the undrafted guy. God, is he from BYU as well? I forgot where he's from. And then Enos Gaines. Enos Gaines is a pretty fun story. People have talked about him recently. He's torn his ACL twice. He went undrafted. His college didn't even have a pro day. He didn't get signed until after the season was over for the Packers. They talked about how he did DoorDash in the offseason and when he was training. And then he's came in and he's made a bit of a name for himself. The first preseason game, he had a really nice special teams tackle. He's a nice physical player. Did not play well against the Buffalo Bills, but he's kind of a perfect practice squad story that you want to have. But what do you think of the safety position?
Yeah, no, I think, again, I'm just going to keep echoing everything you say when I don't really know a lot about new safeties this year. If I'm being completely honest, you know, I haven't been able to kind of keep up as much, I think, especially with some of the undrafted guys on the defense. But I will say that it's tough when it's varsity against JV, you know, with like when you have Josh Allen and all the other starters out there in the starting line.
And that's what's weird, too, because Will Redmond is the guy who has been sticking on the roster the last few years, and he got thrown in the IR recently. I'm not sure if we cut him or not after, but it's one of those things, too, because like you're saying with JV versus varsity, we made that same argument with Will Redmond. It's like, oh, you know, he's flashed in training camp, and then he's finally playing with everyone else. And it's like, oh, he's clearly the one getting picked on. So these guys, too, it's like, just show us something on special teams, and then, maybe you'll get moved up to a 53-man roster.
Well, and too, it's funny that, you know, and logically, like when we're talking about logic and emotion, it was logically yesterday, I was like, okay, yeah, like they, you know, it's our third and second round guys, or second team guys, round guys, that are getting like carved up by Josh Allen. But then like inside of me, somewhere deep down, I'm just like, every time I see a third down and they're like playing a little off, or, you know, and then getting picked on, and or he's like running for it, I'm just like getting PTSD, you know, and I'm just like thinking back to every defensive play from the last 2 years that has like built up inside of me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, but to be fair, like they didn't look that bad against a really, really good offense.
As bad as they looked yesterday, and they did really get torn apart, especially Yadam that first series. I believe he let up like 60 yards himself in that series. But at the same time, going into halftime, we were down, I believe, 14-0 in a preseason game where it was literally our backups against the, like you said, varsity team for the Bills. So that was nice to see.
Well, and Yadam just got here, right? Like, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, he's a third-year player, and you'd think it still comes down to, you know, cover the guy in front of you. But yes, you're right.
Well, and that score could have looked different if we just, like, converted on the one-yard line.
Yeah, it's very true. It's still, I mean, you never want to see a zero on the scoreboard. But yeah, I think we're going to keep Henry Black, Vernon Scott, if he's healthy enough. And I think Upoff's going to make the roster and we'll cut Gaines. Upoff, I think, has just been a little bit better of a tackler, even though no one really tackled yesterday. He's a slightly better special teams player, so we'll see. Moving on to inside linebacker. This one, I think I have a bit of a different opinion than most other people. Good bets, obviously. Chris Barnes, Devondre Campbell, possible cuts, Oren Burks, Ty Summers, Isaiah McDuffie. Isaiah McDuffie was the guy to talk about on defense yesterday. He's finally healthy the first 2 weeks of training camp. He was hurt, did not play. He finally had a lot of snaps, and I believe he had 9 tackles, half a sack, and a tackle for loss. Just what you want to see from the inside linebacker position. And I sound like a broken record anytime I get hyped about someone at the inside linebacker position. I'm like, oh my God, it's Desmond Bishop. Is this guy Desmond Bishop? But he seems like someone who is attacking running backs instead of letting them come to him. And I'll say this. I think he's going to make the 53-man roster, and I think he's going to take either Oren Burks or Ty Summers' spot. I actually think he'll take Ty Summers' spot. There's really no upside with Ty Summers. He's a smaller guy. He's not that great at an inside linebacker position. He doesn't bring anything that Isaiah McDuffie doesn't bring.
I will say prayers of gratitude if he takes Ty Summers' spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so will my indigestion. My bill each month, my Tums usage is going to go way down.
Okay.
And so I won't have to take the pregame Tums.
Okay.
You know, and maybe just postgame. But every time Ty Summers steps on the field, something in me dies.
Whenever I think of Ty Summers playing defense, it's like he's looking behind him for the guy he's supposed to be covering or something. Like he's a good special teams player and he has looked good in spurts, but when you have, you know, it's just the nature of the NFL where you get another young talented guy, you'd rather see what you have in him than Ty Summers, who you kind of know who he is as a player right now.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest here. I, you know, live in my aunt's and uncle's basement.
Yeah. You might have mentioned that.
Like they've stopped cooking me food.
Uh-huh.
So like most of what I eat is cheap and fast food, and like I haven't worked out in a couple months, and so like I shouldn't be saying what I'm about to say. But I don't know, it's hard. Like you're watching Ty Summers and I feel like it is just the hustle player, you know, like the
coach's
one that's
son.
Yeah, like you know there's always the one kid on like the basketball team that's like falling down a lot and you're like you're like, damn, that guy hustles, you know,
yeah.
And like get him out on the floor more. And then you realize that he's just helping the janitors at the end of the day yeah. Wax it up. And so like that's how I feel about Ty Summers. And I know that we cut Kamal Martin, but like last year it was so hard even watching like Ty play over Kamal.
Yeah.
And like that's a whole nother thing. I think I'm pretty like I had such high hopes for Kamal and I haven't let that go, even if he's gone.
Yeah.
But I just bye-bye Ty.
Ooh. Wow, I should have led with that. Yeah. Once again, most people have Ty Summers making the roster. We'll see, especially with this kind of focus on special teams. He's a good special teams player, but whatever. We'll see.
And I'm sorry if I made it so Ty Summers will never come on this podcast.
I don't think he'd be very excited. He seems like a pretty boring guy. Seems like a very nice guy. He has a great smile. He might have one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, like he seems like a very nice guy. It's just like, you know, I don't want a nice guy at middle linebacker.
Yeah.
I want someone that's
like Isaiah McDuffie.
Like
Isaiah McDuffie is balding. He's a rookie. His last name is McDuffie, another incredible name. That's what you want from the inside linebacker.
Well, and you know that he's balding because he's just angry all the time.
Yes.
And so, like, that anger is just burning off the hair.
Maybe, and he keeps his hair short, too. Maybe it's the hair's getting, you know, pulled out from the helmet and leading with his head. Maybe that's what it is, something to look into. He's a headhunter tackler.
Ooh, I like that.
Moving on to outside linebacker. Last year, we kept five of them. Good bets. Obviously, the top three is Za'Darius, Preston, and Gary. Za'Darius right now, so I talked about him a little bit last week. I don't think he listened to that episode, but I kind of grilled into him for wanting a new contract and stuff. I'll say this. It sounds like he does have a better gripe than what I initially thought, where the way they restructured his deal, his cap hit went up next year, where it's looking like we're going to have to cut Za'Darius or rework his contract one way or another. So that's why he was pissed off. So we'll see. The biggest thing with him, too, that people are worried about is his back injury. He still hasn't played. He only practiced one day. So don't be shocked if he gets thrown off, if he makes the roster and is thrown on the IR and is out the first three games right off the bat. So we'll see that on Tuesday. But rolling along there, the possible cuts, the other guys, Jonathan Garvin, Delonte Scott, Chauncey Rivers, and Tipa Galeo. Those are the other outside linebackers. I think Jonathan Garvin is the guy for sure that'll make it. He's the most talented, it seems like. Mike Smith, the outside linebacker coach, has talked him up like he has everyone else at the outside linebacker position, but he said that he's the smartest guy in the room, which is nice. He knows the defense better than anyone else, which is kind of surprising to hear. So I think
I wonder
he'll make
how Rashawn Gary feels about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mike Smith, you have to have a quick memory with him because he literally talks up everyone else. Hearing him talk, you think we have the best outside linebacker room in the league, and we actually might with the top three guys.
Yeah,
it's not
bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, the guys after Garvin are really fall off, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that to your point, I think Garvin seems like the clear front runner, and you know, and we did we draft him last year?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's kind of been one that we've like developed, and he played a little last year and had some flashes, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things too. It's you get these positions like running back and outside linebacker where if they only play in small spurts, they usually play really well, and then you're like, "Oh my god, this guy has a 5 yards per carry average," or "Oh my god, this guy pressures on 30% of his snaps," and that's kind of where he's fallen into. So we'll see, especially if Z is banged up and Garvin is rotated in more than he was last year, we'll have a better idea of who he is as a player. After that, the other guys, I think it just comes down to special teams, and it seems like Tipa Galeo might be the guy to make the roster because of that. But once again, with those other guys too, whoever we cut is probably going to make it on the practice squad.
Yeah, and I mean, Tipa, another strong name, so you have to take that into account. And it's a name that you've seen everywhere on social media too. Like, and that's how you know it's like really strong during training camp is when it like the name gains a following. One thing that we haven't talked about, and not to go off on a tangent, I will make it quick, but like, I'm really questioning, I don't know what I'm questioning, like the leadership in the, you know, outside linebacker room, whether it is like Mike Smith or if it is like Za'Darius and Preston, but like someone needs to really get on Rashawn Gary with the whole Bane Gary thing because like, I love Rashawn and like, I know how much he's tried to make it work,
yeah, I know,
but like, I don't think anyone's catching on to it. And like, I get that he probably was a kid when Bane, like that movie came out and Bane was like really cool. But like, I don't know. I just think that like, I'm just going to plea like maybe that we trademark something else. And because like there's a lot of great names I think you could make with Rashawn Gary. And Bane doesn't, like, there's nothing that rhymes.
No,
like
it doesn't make any sense. It makes very little sense. There's nothing, there's no seamless thing to see why he did it. And going into his third year, it sucks because, it's when you're building a brand for that long, you can't really just throw it away. But it does not, I don't get it. If he comes out and has like a double digit sack season and then all you see is him posting pictures of him wearing like the Bane mask, maybe it works. But God, there's got to be a better one out there.
Like, also, maybe just the hashtag should just be Bane and not like Bane Gary.
Yeah.
Because there's something about like the word Bane next to the word Gary that just like doesn't scream menacing.
It's very clunky.
More just like,
it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
I've thought of it before too, and I don't know if there's some negative connotations behind this, but like, can't you just be like Scary Gary? That rhymes. It's kind of stupid. It's kind of dad jokey, but it's better than Bane.
It's probably too close to Scary Terry, which is already like so trademarked out in Boston.
Okay.
And you know how Boston boys get.
Okay. That makes sense. That's fair. Okay. Well, moving on to the defensive line. Overall, I feel much better about this group than I have over the last few years. It feels like we have actual depth, especially if Kingsley Keke can stay healthy. Just going along with the names here, Kenny Clark, Kingsley Keke, Dean Lowry, and TJ Slayton are all the guys who are probably going to make it. Possible cuts, Jack Heflin, Tyler Lancaster, Willington Prevalin. This is another one of those, we thought this would be a battle, but I think Jack Heflin's all but guaranteed his spot. It looks like he's overcome Tyler Lancaster, who's also been banged up. Jack Heflin is the undrafted guy out of Iowa. Pretty cool story, too. He played at a small school. Finally got moved up Iowa, brought him on last year in 2020, which was his dream to play for Iowa, played in the six games of the reduced season, and he's looked great in training camp. For a defensive lineman in preseason to have a pass rush, like he's gotten to the quarterback a couple times, it's very encouraging when that's something we haven't seen from that position.
Trash can full of dirt.
That's been the big way to describe him, at least today, where a scout described him as a trash can full of dirt, which is fucking that there's few things more football than that type of description.
Yeah, it is a pretty mean and dangerous description.
Yeah.
And I really hope he makes it because he just seems so awesome.
Yeah, he's, you know, just an Iowa. Most of the guys we get from Iowa, sans the big guys in the trenches from Iowa, have worked out for us. You know, Brian Belaga, Mike Daniels, so hopefully he can continue that on as well. And hopefully Kenny Clark can stay healthy too, and Keke as well. Dean Lowry apparently has had a good training camp, so I'm very excited to see the actual defense, which we have not been able to see at all. Obviously with 31 guys, just about every game who haven't suited up, who are healthy scratches, so Should be fun to see Joe Barry with the actual talent out on the field. Moving on after that, all we have left are the specialists. Crosby, so I guess we have some interesting things to talk about. Crosby missed the pretty much an extra point yesterday, which was a 23-yard field goal, I believe. Snap was actually good. Crosby should make the roster, but at the same time, J.J. Molson has been a pretty good kicker in training camp. When we cut him, he's probably going to get picked up by another team. He's hit like 60-yard field goals in practice. So we're probably going to stick with Crosby. Once again, that would be a really weird move to cut him. It's weird to have to think, like, what would Rodgers think if we cut him? But you have to keep that in the back of your mind.
Aaron would be real mad.
I think most would be mad.
I mean, everyone would be mad.
And especially even if, like, the first game Molson misses a kick, it's like, what the hell are you doing? So I think we'll stick with Crosby. Moving on, J.K. Scott and Hunter Bradley. You can kind of put both these guys together. I think we're going to be looking at the waiver wire. J.K. Scott is probably more of a... is more likely to make the roster just because he holds as well, and that's kind of a tough thing to try to bring someone in week one to get that together. But Jesus Christ, Hunter Bradley, it is in practice. Literally, he had six snaps the practice before the game. Three of them hit the dirt. That's so bad we're talking about for a professional long snapper. And it's funny, obviously we're a pro long snapping podcast with Brett Goode being on the podcast several times. But my God, using a seventh round draft pick for him, it's so questionable at this point, and I'll go right into this. Hank, have you ever heard the tragedy of J.J. Jansen?
I have not, but I'm interested.
So this is how much of a loser I am. I've said this several times on the show. J.J. Jansen. So he was – first, let's talk about the long snapper position in general for the Green Bay Packers over the last couple decades. Rob Davis was the long snapper for the longest time. He retired in 2007, and he moved into the front office for the Packers when Mike McCarthy got fired and went to Dallas. Rob Davis actually went with him, and he's the assistant head coach for the Dallas Cowboys right now, which is kind of funny. So that's one of our former long snappers. After that, we moved on to J.J. Jansen in 2008. That next year, he got hurt, and we, threw him on the IR or whatever, signed Brett Goode, who's been on the show. Well, after J.J. Jansen was healthy, we actually traded him to the Carolina Panthers for a seventh-round pick. Guess who's still in the league right now?
J.J.
J.J. Jansen. He's still one of the most reliable long snappers in the league, and it's one of those revisionist histories where it's like, well, I guess we wouldn't have had Brett Goode, but at the same time, if we would have just kept J.J. Jansen, we wouldn't be in this position right now. But for whatever reason, we had to go along and use a freaking draft pick to take Hunter Bradley, who's probably the worst player on the Packers currently.
So are you saying that Hunter Bradley will never be invited to do an interview on this podcast?
I've said so many negative things, and I feel bad because I'm sure he's a nice guy and blah, blah, blah. But as a fan, it's like you got to look at what you do on the field. And he is so bad at snapping. He literally got Mason Crosby hurt in the playoffs last year. And you don't want to be lined up for a game-winning field goal and have Hunter Bradley be the guy out there when you're going to have to. I'm always thinking about that. Is he going to skip the ball to him? It's one of the best things about J.K. Scott is he's 6'5", all bones, but at least he can move his arms around and pick up these snaps that are skipping off the ground. Sorry, I guess I got a little too heated there for the long snapping position. But
you must wake up in the middle of the night to nightmares of Hunter Bradley.
Damn it, Hunter. Just thinking of Crosby getting smacked after J.K. throws him the ball in the playoffs. Still one of the most ridiculous plays I can remember in Packers history. But that's all we have for the roster breakdown. The cutdowns are on Tuesday, so look for that. Once again, I don't think there's going to be any surprising cuts. It's just a pretty clean-cut roster with how talented it is up front. But with that, we will now have Take News.
Football time. Take News.
All right, Take News for a week. I've been thinking about this for a while, Hank, and it's just media in general. A lot of people, especially with the Rodgers shit going on, got on Adam Schefter for fake reporting and all this, you know, misleading. And I just wanted to jump into that and just how that in general, media and Twitter, it's like everything's just so freaking out of whack and everything has to be as extreme as possible now. This might be a little too macro and deep for the show, but it's like, I truly believe with the, this is way too deep, evolving of the internet and blogging and how anyone can say anything, it's in turn changed actual media and press to have to also be outrageous just to compete with clicks, with blogs and everything else and having to say outlandish things. And Adam Schefter is kind of a good example of that. Starting off, the way he reported the Rodgers stuff was a little disingenuous. Most of the things he said were true, but the way he presented them was like, you know, there was a big blow up right before the draft. Well, Adam Schefter has, I don't know what the hell he is anymore. Reporters are, you know, you kind of look at them as not a judge or lawyer, but you kind of want to take their word for most things. And now with a lot of them, we're kind of losing that confidence where, and this is what really fucking pissed me off more than anything else, was, you know, when all the Rodgers stuff was going on, he was on SportsCenter and he said this. This is still before Rodgers came back. The Packers know that if he is not back, that they will be one of the worst teams in football. If Rodgers is back, they will be amongst the best for a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. And this is where we get into opinions. Reporters are not supposed to have opinions. And I saw this last week too, where I think Aaron Nagler tweeted something like Cheesehead TV, you know, we're fans, but we admit it. And a lot of the press, you know, they could take note of that. It was something along those lines. And it's like, the replies that I was seeing on Twitter, a lot of people don't realize that reporters are not supposed to be fans of the team that they're covering. It's supposed to be a non-bias, just pretty much presenting the facts for everyone. And everything's starting to get fucked up with that, like I just said with Adam Schefter. There was that. He's also doing the fucking, he does the sideline stuff for the NBA. And then I started my fantasy football league on ESPN, and one of the first things that pop up is Adam Schefter's cheat sheet. What he gives to his family about the little ins and outs that he knows about these teams. And it's like, everyone is turning into building a brand and being a personality. And it's like, can't we keep some things a little more simplified and just give me the basic slop and I can make my own opinions? Hank, I don't know what you think about this. Am I wrong? Am I thinking too hard about this shit?
Yeah, you know, I just think that Adam Schefter is one tweet away from hashtagging Bane Schefter.
Yeah. He's so deep in his brand, he doesn't realize that it's a little cringe at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of is what it is. It seems that like maybe reporting has changed in some way, right? Like yeah. The way people yes. consume content has changed. You know, now it is kind of, content isn't just. Yeah, it is blogs, it's YouTube, it's everything.
Streaming, it's yeah. Twitch, like we talked about earlier,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Twitch, too. And so, I mean, I think also that, like, anyone that gains that sort of following now, like, people push, like, they come back for that person a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then they end up, like, they want to hear the opinions. They, like, yeah. want to relate to them, right? And then, like, then you get... you know, Packers reporters on Twitter talking about which food they want. So, I mean, like, it's a slippery slope. Like, yeah. one time, you know, at one point you're talking about football, and the next point you're talking about, like, why you don't like cream cheese.
It's true. And I guess someone you could talk about that goes along with that, as far as the Packers are concerned, is Rob Domofsky. Now, Rob gets a lot of shit. He probably gets more shit than anyone else on the beat, when you should probably point most of that to Bill Michaels or I forgot the guy who had the comment about MVS last year, who said, how can you live with him? Now, Rob isn't good, but he isn't as bad as those guys, where I think Rob literally is just a product of his environment at this point working for ESPN, where he has to sensationalize things a little bit more than he used to.
Well, and like Rob's a little spicy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my. Like, you know, like he's like kind of maybe like the sassiest boy on the beat.
he absolutely
like,
is
like that would be like his introduction, like Rob Domofsky, sassiest boy on the beat.
That is the best way to describe him, because yeah. what I always go back to is back in the day, like he tweeted out that he slipped in the parking lot at the UWGB campus, and he like tweeted out a picture of the ice, and he said he fell on his ass and he could sue them or something, and he just posted on Twitter. It's like, dude, nobody cares. You're just coming off as you said, a sassy, I would say a sassy bitch. But it's like, what? You don't need to be this way all yeah. the time.
Well, or sassafras.
Ooh, that word. works too. And I guess we'll dumb it down a little bit to it with Packers Twitter a little more watered down, where it's like, even with preseason, and I know we're starving for football right now, but everything is just, everything is either the worst thing ever or the best thing you've ever seen. And I'll start here with Jake Morley, who I believe writes for Cheesehead TV. I believe he's one of the guys on the Pack-A-Day podcast, which you shouldn't listen to. Just listen to us. They're fine. Anyways, so he tweeted this out. And this was after Jordan Love's first preseason game. This is the first 17 attempts we have seen Jordan Love play professionally. Jake tweeted, "Love looked poised, confident, and talented. He's going to be a good NFL QB. The question is, how good?" It's like, and we've talked about before, we were both pretty impressed with Jordan Love in general. But it's going to be a long-ass time until I'm going to say Jordan Love is going to be a good QB in the NFL. I don't know how many good QBs there are in the NFL. 20, and now you're going to say Jordan Love is one of a good quarterback in the NFL after 17 attempts? Have we forgotten Graham Harrell and Brett Hundley, who were preseason all-stars? I understand this is a little bit different. Like we said, he played from the pocket and the arm strength and everything. But can we use our brains a little bit here sometimes?
I think for my mental health, I will say that Jordan Love is going to be a good QB.
Yeah.
Because, like, if at this point with the way that the world is and just, you know, like, I'm a car wash cashier. I only get so much out of each day.
Yeah, no, and that's with everything. You got to do what you can do, and I don't. It's just,
you got to keep the wheels shining, and you know, one of the things that with Jordan Love, like, we, like, I just need that hope right now, and so, yeah, like, you, yes, know, like, I know you're a little sorely on Jake Morley,
ooh,
but like, maybe we haven't thought, like, how's Jake doing, like, maybe. Maybe we just need to ask that question. Like, how's Jake doing? And, well, like, maybe he just needs the hope of Jordan Love right now.
That, you're probably right. But it's just, it's with Twitter, too. It's like, everything's either you're pro Rodgers or you're pro Jordan Love. And I was tweeting Jake Morley today from my personal account, too, just because he was saying how, like, Aaron Rodgers, Harrison Smith just signed this new contract. He's the highest paid, like, safety now, and he's 30 something years old. And Jake was like, "Well, if Rodgers had it his way, we would have had a lot of similar contracts to this. So don't make fun of this contract." And it's like, no, this actually isn't the case. And I asked him, and he couldn't give me a specific example of a player that he's talking about. But it's like, it's okay to have vague opinions on things. You don't have to be so, you know, flagging the ground on stuff. And I'll continue here with Andy Herman, who yesterday tweeted this. Once again, we've talked about Kylin Hill quite a bit. And this is what Andy tweeted yesterday. "LaFleur is going to need to create a role for Kylin Hill in this offense if he hasn't already. Yeah, he's that good." It's like, sure, he's been great. He's looked really good in the preseason. But you know who else we have on the team? Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, MVS, A.J. Dillon, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, Alan Lazard, Robert Tonyan. Those are just some of the guys who I would think are more talented and more more explosive. But we saw how long it took us to get A.J. Dillon involved last year. And now after three preseason games, Kylin looks great. But you're saying we have to change the offense a little bit to get him involved? Like, let's come. It's preseason. Let's slow our roll a little bit here.
Yeah, like, I think one thing is everyone forgets about that Tennessee Titan game, and then, yeah, everyone forgets, like, A.J. Dillon carrying Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game.
Yes.
And then just not touching the ball again.
Right.
You know, I felt like I was, like, back asking for Aaron Jones to touch the ball, you know, in, like, 2017.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I Kylin Hill has looked good. It's just so reactionary. And, like, also, just, like, A.J. Dillon is, like, so surprising because, like, he's, every time he touches the ball, he generally has gotten, like, good yardage and he's done stuff. And it's just, like, there's, I don't know why there's not, like, the excitement around him. Yeah. But, like, I'm an A.J. Dillon super fan. You know, he just, like, greases my wheels. And mm-hmm. he, like, when he's just tossing guys and he's, like, still so, like, light on his feet in this weird way.
It's going to be fun to see him, yeah, in a larger part of this offense.
Yeah, and so, like, I just kind of, like, I don't know. It just seems, like, ridiculous to suggest Kylan Hill is like RB2 after like what we've seen from AJ Dillon. And even though like AJ Dillon like didn't flash like super, you know, like he wasn't spectacular yesterday, like he was still getting 4 or 5 yards on carries.
He's clearly a better runner between the tackles and all that.
And it was pretty obvious we were running the ball every time he's out there.
Yeah.
So
it's preseason. Once again, it's everyone getting hyped up, but it's like just because we have a new player doesn't mean he's better than the guys that we've been watching for the last few years. AJ Dillon, you know, those guys are a little bit different, but it's like, let's just slow our roll a little bit.
Well, and I didn't think I'd be asking Andy Herman to start tweeting again about like how he hates maple syrup and like American cheese. But like at this point with that tweet, I was like, let's just go back to the food takes.
God,
like,
no, please.
Yeah. Or none, just like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't like how he's become self-aware as far as that goes through. It's like, well, at least it's not one of my food takes or one of my dad jokes. I'm like, I just, Andy, just,
yeah,
just
define self-aware.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Andy, but it's just everything's just so, once again, it's like, all you have to do is like, even in that previous tweet, it's like, just add in the future, but you have to say something a little bit more outrageous because that's what gets the favorites. That's what gets the retweets.
Yeah. And like, honestly, Andy, like I love Andy's YouTube stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think his YouTube content is incredible. It's just like, sometimes people just, I don't know, censor yourself a bit.
Yes. And I mean, I'm sure we've been guilty of that as well on Twitter as well. But moving on, this is a pick your own poison here, Hank. Do you wanna, what dumb offseason thing do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the wave at Lambeau or the NFL Top 100?
Oh, NFL Top 100 for sure.
Okay, so I'll just lay this out here. Once again, I've said this before, the things you can always throw out are the things that people talk about that you shouldn't care about are draft ratings, the NFL Top 100, and power rankings. Yeah. And with I'll just throw this out there. These are the Packers that were on the top 100 list. Darius was number 51. Jair was 41. Bakhtiari was 36th, the highest rated offensive tackle. Aaron Jones, 30th. Davante Adams, 6th. And Aaron Rodgers, 3rd. Hank, what are your thoughts on this stupid list that does not matter?
Yeah, honestly, like Rodgers being number 3 is fine, right?
Yeah.
I like that's fine. Like Aaron Donald honestly should be like one every single year for
sure.
The next 10 years still.
Yep.
Like pretty much until he's dead in the ground, like he's going to be number 1.
Yeah.
Even though he's number 2. That was just that's sure. The ridiculous part. Yeah. And like Mahomes is obvious. Like, how do you argue against that? I feel like Mahomes is just younger.
It's the
more athletic. Like,
you get into tiers with people, and mm-hmm. if you get so hard in the rankings, it's like, who really cares? Like, you,
yeah.
those three
Although,
guys, you can really rotate them, and
yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Although I'll say, I don't think any Kansas City fans ever watched Rodgers from like 2011 to 2015, 16.
I don't know. It's just, it's what flavor do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want Aaron Rodgers? Do you want John
yeah,
Elway?
It's
do you
who's,
want Patrick
yeah, who's
Mahomes?
The cutest boy on the block? You know,
what's the flavor
that lives
of the week?
Next to you currently?
Yeah. Who,
you
who's,
know?
Who's trending right now? And Mahomes has been trending the last few years more than Rodgers has.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And yeah. And like, I think the one, so there's a couple things. I mean, one thing, like I think NFL Top 100, like, I think Brady's son's not putting in enough work lately.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like, I don't know if Brady's son like needs to really encourage his dad more,
sure.
like give him a couple more kisses here and there.
Oh yeah.
If he needs to wax up the massage table. but like number 7, like that seems pretty low for Brady right now. With all the Brady love that
we
have always seen.
So I wasn't paying attention to the NFL Top 100 back in the day in college. Like it was almost appointment viewing for me, which is just stupid because it's, I think Tom Crabtree tweeted back in the day too, like he doesn't even know anyone who actually voted in those when it's supposed to be the actual NFL players. But it's when, so I didn't know where anyone was ranked aside from the Packers who I saw pop up on Twitter where they were ranked. And when I knew there was 2 ahead of Rodgers, I was like, is one of them Tom Brady? I really hope one of them isn't Tom Brady. Because yes, it's always such a, you never know where to rank him because he's always so freaking
yeah.
high.
And honestly, like when I saw 7, I was like,
that's
was,
fine. I'm
yeah,
fine with that.
I was just like, wow, like there must be something bad going on at home right now. Like if the NFL players aren't ranking him 3 spots ahead of Rodgers.
At least
so,
they know he's not as important as, you know, he once was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you throw 3 interceptions in the NFC Championship game and still win. Like, you're obviously like that. Like, I mean, unmatched greatness.
I hate that shit so much. I saw another stat the other day. It was something like Kirk Cousins, when the defense has given up so many points, is 0-28. Tom Brady, in that same circumstance, he won 50% of the games. It was some wild stat like that, where you only get his deep. Tom Brady's success is, he's been a great quarterback, but he always has a good defense, and that's why he picked the freaking Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean, know your weaknesses, right?
Yeah.
And like, when your weakness is yourself, then like the easiest thing to ever do is just like, I always like, what do I need? And it's like the best defense in the league.
A good team and defense around.
Yeah. And like, you know, the intangibles, like I need all my guys to tell everyone how great of a leader I am all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of stuff. So
we'll see. Hopefully this is the year he falls off, but my God, it's I mean Tom Brady as parquet courts.
Yeah.
Said.
I don't even think it matters. Like, I'm a broken man. Like, I, after seeing him throw three interceptions in the NFC Championship game and still win, I just, like, I don't know. Part of me is conspiratory now. Like, I'm, you know, I'm sitting down in the basement, and I'm here, and I'm wondering, and I'm going into forums talking about the NFL being rigged, you know.
Yeah.
I'm typing up under the name, like,
okay, so you're hot, one of those people.
Yeah, username Hot for Hank, you
okay.
know, and like,
wow, really, yeah. Narcissistic there.
Yeah, well, someone has to be.
Okay.
Yeah, fair. And so, like, you know, you get in these deep dives, and you're like, yeah, maybe, I mean, it's a good story, and good stories, like, the NFL wants a good story.
Well, that's true, and hey, this might be a good segue. Well,
I have one more thing.
Okay.
All I want to say is that Jair being 41 and Jalen Ramsey being like whatever, like 11.
Oh, that was the thing
that blew my mind.
I think this is going to be the year of Jair. I think we're gonna move him into that star role where he's gonna kind of play some slot and move him closer to the line of scrimmage. I think this is the year he's gonna bust out and overtake nationally as the top corner in the league.
I don't know what else he could have done last year.
Pick off the ball.
He
needs to hold on to the ball. That's pretty
much it. Yeah, which he did in the NFC Championship game.
Finally.
But yeah, even like seeing like Xavien Howard and Jalen Ramsey up there, like, which obviously are great players, but like, you know, Jalen's just on there because like the Madden.
He's grandfathered in.
It's like how Madden put him a 99 this year.
Oh, and, really?
Like, yeah, 99.
Fuck, yeah, I hate Madden too.
Oh, I do too. I'm just saying, like, it's just at this point, it feels like Jalen Ramsey was the one that I was most angry about, seeing that in relation to Jair.
And Devontae did pretty okay against him too in the divisional round last year.
No one did well against Jair.
That's very, very true. You did talk about it there, the Tom Brady conspiracy theory stuff. I think I'm gonna, if I can find some time, I am gonna put out a podcast by myself in the next couple of weeks. Just talking about Russ Ball, I've gotten so conspiracy theory on what this guy does behind the franchise, so look out for that in the future. But hey, that's it for this episode. We'll have another one next week sometime where we'll actually be looking forward to the season. It does suck. I almost want another preseason game because now we have an early bye week, so nothing's going on next week. But we'll have that. We'll have more predictions and all that looking forward. And I've forgotten to do this the last couple episodes, so if you could please leave a review for the podcast, if you enjoyed it, you're still sticking along here. Maybe you told yourself you were going to do it in the past. You know, it'll take 2 seconds. Just scroll down on iTunes. Although I think iTunes is kind of dying and Spotify has been growing, but Spotify doesn't have a rating system. But if you're on iTunes.
I listen on Spotify all the time.
You
do? Yeah.
Apple's just so much easier for me.
Really?
Well, like, Spotify is music, Apple is podcast, so it's very easy for me to differentiate between the two.
I've been pretty heavy into the Spotify podcast, and it's like, once you kind of go into it, it's hard to go back to the actual, like, podcast app, yeah.
That makes sense, but yeah, if you leave a rating, we'll send you a free koozie. Just DM us on Twitter at PMPPod or email us at PMPPodcast@gmail.com. And hell, even if you don't leave a rating, I mean, we have so many koozies now. If you just want a koozie, just email or DM and give me the address and we will just send you a free koozie. You know, it's we're getting excited for the season, so get excited for a stupid ass koozie that you can have keep your beer cold. But do you have something else?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you can have your own koozie, too, actually. I don't know if I've ever given you one. Ooh. Hank.
No, I don't think the Hank has one, but okay. The Hank will take one.
Okay, very cool. Well, with that, Hank, do you have anything else you want to talk about? No?
No. Just hopefully we can get to some football here.
Yeah, that's we're about 2 weeks away, but... Well, shoot, if we don't have anything else. Hank, well, who's a musical artist you like? You come on, you should have been prepared for this. You listened to the podcast.
I should have been prepared for this.
It's okay, yeah. Just...
You know, this is so basic, but like... Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh, Heat Waves by Glass Animals this year.
Yeah.
This summer. That's all I listen to right now.
Okay.
And like Hank likes what Hank likes. And I don't know, when you're feeling the heat, you know, your hashtag hot for Hank.
There you go. What was the artist again? Glass Animals?
Glass Animals, Heat Waves.
Okay, well with that, Glass Animals, please don't sue us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.